Why don't we give God a hand of praise this morning? Hallelujah. So good. Wow. So good to see all of you this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the house. Hello. Wow, my kids woke up and they gave me some breakfast in bed, which was an amazement to me because they've never done that before. So I hope you all had a wonderful Mother's Day breakfast in the morning. And I just want to acknowledge Pastor Tony. Thank you so much for having me this morning. And Pastor Maria, thank you so much for having me. And Pastor Mirella, thank you so much. I count it as a great honor and a great privilege to be here this morning. Amen. As a church of God, one of the things that I sense God saying is this church is about to erupt with revival. That signs, wonders, miracles are about to be witnessed in this house. That those people that have been told incurable diseases, impossible situations, they'll come to this house and they will find answers in this house. So as a church, you have entered into an exciting day. It is going to be an epicenter of miracles. It is going to be an epicenter of signs and wonders. This is the day and the season that as a church you've entered into. So this church will be known as an epicenter of the miraculous. So I believe God is preparing you and me at this time to enter into those things. That as those things begin to happen, we will not be taken by surprise. In 2011, God instructed me to go to Brisbane, where Renard Bonnke was coming. And I remember just driving with my husband, and I was just letting him know that I really had sensed God saying we should go to Brisbane to meet Renard Bonnke. And he said to me, if God really wants you to go, he will provide for the finances. And I remember praying that night. I said, God, if you want me to go to Renard Bonnke, for those that do not know Renard Bonnke is one of the amazing evangelists of our time. He's mightily used by God in Africa. Signs, wonders, miracles follow him. And that's the person God was instructing me to go and see and visit in Brisbane. So that night I just made a prayer. I said, God, if you want me to go, provide for the finances. And that was it. As long as I live, I'll never forget what happened. The following morning, a lady came and knocked on my door. And she said, Florence, I've been assigned by God to come and buy you air tickets. I don't know where you are wanting to go, but God has instructed me to come and buy you some air tickets. I did go and met Renard Bonnke, and he laid hands on me. There's a thing in the Word of God that is called impartation. Impartation means transference of the anointing of God. So the anointing of God can be transferred. After Renard Bonnke laid hands on me, God began to tell me to go and step out and begin to lay hands on the sick, and I would see them recovering. I began to lay hands on people that had been diagnosed with leukemia, and I began to see instant healings taking place, certified by the doctors. I began to see people who had tumorous growths disappearing as I laid hands on them. Queues of people, as we laid hands, queues and queues of people began to come wanting to testify of the mighty miracles that had taken place in their lives. And so this morning I sense God saying he wants me to impart that anointing to people in this house that have been desiring to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. So as you begin to step out and lay hands on the sick, you will begin to notice that there are some manifestations that will begin to take place, physical manifestations. They are all in the Word of God. As you begin to step out and lay hands on those people that are sick, you begin to see that at times as you lay hands, people will begin, that those that you are praying for will begin to tremble and shake under God's power and anointing. We will see the scripture reference of all that people would encounter the presence of God. At times they would not be able to stand. They will start to shake. We see that scriptural reference in Daniel 10 verse 7 to 11. Daniel says, while he was speaking his word to me, I stood trembling. As you begin to lay hands on the sick, you'll see that at times people will fall down under the power of God. Because guess what? When the power of God, the weightiness of God's presence comes upon an individual, at times they are not able to stand. And so at times they fall under God's power and they are slain in the spirit. And the scripture reference for that is John 18 verse 6. Jesus' appearance, people would fall down under his presence. Acts 9 verse 4 is another reference. Ezekiel 1 verse 28. And at times you'll see that as you lay hands on the sick or people with different emotional needs, some will begin to weep and cry. That can be an indication that there is deep inner healing that is taking place in the inside of them. Hebrews 5 verse 7. Hosea 12 verse 4. So these are some of the manifestations that you begin to witness as you step out and begin to lay hands on people, that you will see some of these physical manifestations taking place. So do not be surprised when you see these things happening. And so this morning, before I get into the word, I feel like we need to just do that impartation. So I'll just invite you to come to the front if you have desired to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. Just come to the front. I invite the music team to come. You can just come to the front and receive that impartation to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. Do not be afraid as you go there. As you see those different situations, healings, sicknesses, don't be apologetic. You speak to that sickness as if you are speaking to a person. And you command that sickness in the mighty name of Jesus to go. And you will see those sicknesses going. So this morning as you come, just come expectant that your life is about to take a new turn. Your life is about to take a new turn where you will begin to walk in these signs, wonders, and miracles. I'll ask you to just raise your hand in that sign of expectation from God this morning. Thank you, music team.
Here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are standing in your presence. Shekinah glory come down. Shekinah glory come down. Here we are standing in your presence. Here we are standing in your presence. Shekinah glory come down. Shekinah glory come down. Here we are standing in your presence. Here we are standing in your presence. Shekinah glory come down. Shekinah glory come down. Here we are standing in your presence. Here we are standing in your presence. Shekinah glory come down. Shekinah glory come down. Here we are standing in your presence. Here we are standing in your presence. Shekinah glory come down. Shekinah glory come down. Here we are standing in your presence. Here we are standing in your presence. Shekinah glory come down. Shekinah glory come down. Here we are standing in your presence. Here we are standing in your presence. Shekinah glory come down. Shekinah glory come down. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come.
Amen. Amen. We have entered into an exciting day as the Church of the Living God. It is going to become very fashionable to be a Christian. Many will come and look at us for answers. The world will come and they will realize that they have something. So we have entered in an exciting day and a season as the children of God, where the word of God says the greater works that Jesus did, you and me will be able to do them. So let's begin to step out. Let's begin to step out and begin to do those things, and we'll begin to see greater manifestations of the word of the living God through our hands. Don't be apologetic. Do not be apologetic as a daughter and as a son of the Most High God. Let's begin to go out there, stepping out, and we will see the greater works and the manifestations taking place.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, music team. Let's give them a hand. The word of God in Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of good. Plans to prosper you. And the word of God in Jeremiah continues to say that before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. There is a reason for your existence. There is a reason why you and me are here on this earth for. There is a purpose. So when God created you, I picture him having his book of plans. So before he formed me, he had a book for plans for Florence. That Florence, you are going to be born at such and such a time as this. and you are going to live at this place. And these are the plans and the purposes that I have for you, Florence. So for each and every one of us, God has an ordained plan specifically tailor-made for you. And it is your duty and my duty to go before God and find out what that plan for your life and for my life is. I celebrated my 11th year wedding anniversary yesterday. And it was a year after we got married that my husband went away to pray and fast and seek God's direction concerning our life. That he came and he told me news that I would never forget as long as I live. Especially that it was coming out from him. He said, Florence, God has told me that we should leave our country, Zimbabwe, and go to Australia because there is a work that he has for us in Australia. At that time, we didn't even know anybody here in Newcastle, but God had spoken. How many people know that when God speaks, you will make the way? When God speaks, he is in charge to open the doors. So within a few months, we had landed here at Sydney Airport on the 1st of September 2008. This was God's plan for our life, to come to this nation, because he had a work that he had ordained for us. So the word of God in Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles. Listen to this part. And let us run the race with perseverance, the race that has been marked out for us. The title of my message this morning is Run the Race That Has Been Marked Out For You. There is a race that has been marked out for you. That race pertains your destiny and life assignment for your life. That race is only set for you. The word of God says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That race that has been marked out for you before the foundations of the earth is tailor-made for you. And it will not leave you as long as you live. So it is up to you and me to go forth and find out why God has put you here on earth. Why are you existing? What is the reason that you are on this earth for? So one day, you and me, as we stand before the judgment seat of God, we will give an account based on the plans and the purposes that God had ordained for you and me. We'll have to give an account as God opens his plan book and say, Florence, this is the plan that I had for you. I had planned that you would go to Australia and preach my gospel. I had planned that you would start a Bible college. I had planned that you do A, B, and C, and D. What did you do? We will have to give an account based on the specific plan that God has for each and every one of us. This life is short. We are here. The word of God says life is like a mist. We are here today and tomorrow we are not. And you and me, we need to go before the presence of God and find out why are we existing? What is your purpose? What is my purpose? So as we pursue to run the race that God has marked out for us, here are a few points. Number one, realize it's your duty to find out God's plan for your life. I always think that if my husband had not gone to pray and fast and seek God pertaining to the direction of our life, probably today we'll still be in Zimbabwe. It is our duty and your duty that we go in the presence of God and find out what his plan for our life is. The word of God in Romans 8:14 says, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So we need to allow the Lord and inquire from God why he has brought us here on earth. Number two, realize God leads us step by step as we follow that plan. So for me, for us, God had ordained for us that I want you to go probably maybe there's a big plan that one day you're going to be on TV and preach. Like what Pastor Mirilla said, I take that as a prophetic word. So all these plans, maybe God has ordained that I want you to preach and all these big things. But realize that the purposes and plans of God, we reach that place by walking that plan step by step. So when we landed in Australia, the first instruction God gave us is begin to serve in the kids ministry at your church. That was one step. So imagine if I had thought, oh, no, kids ministry, it has nothing to do with the bigger picture, the bigger plan, and not do it. What happens in the natural if you don't take one step? What happens? Stagnancy. God was just still be waiting for me to take that one step. So we began to serve in the kids ministry at our church. And then after some time, God said, I will now want you to lead a connect group. And the word of God says, whatever you do, do it with all your might, power, and strength. So we had to start to do it. That was a huge stepping of out of faith for us, leading a connect group of five people. We did it afraid. So we just took on that role step by step. And then after some time, we were serving at the kids. Then the pastor announced, oh, we didn't even know that pastor. When God has assigned you to do something, guess what? He is the one who opens the doors. He announced in church, this was a mega church, and he said, Florence is going to preach in 2 weeks' time. I'd never met this pastor, but he said, because God has told me that's what is going to happen. He didn't even ask me, do you want to preach? He said, God said it, so you're going to do it. What was happening? I had to do it afraid. That was another step. So as God's plan is all one step at a time. I wonder what step God has ordained for you to take in this season. It probably is to serve in this church. It probably is to begin to maybe join the media team. That step, guess what? It is going to, it's a chain in the link. If you don't do it, and you know, many times you think, oh, you know, I'm too special to do that. It's too low below me. Then there will be stagnancy in your call for your life. The word of God says, he lights our feet, a lamp unto our feet. So he just gives us light for that one particular step. So we need, as a children of God, to take that step. Do you know why God has brought you to ICC? Are you giving your best shot? I like that. One person, at least one person knows. And number three, realize and throw off everything that hinders. As we seek to follow God's plan for our life, at times our backgrounds can hinder us from pursuing what God is calling us to do. If we had a bad background or bad past experiences, at times those can label us and we disqualify ourselves from being used by God. Any mothers in the house? Yes. Today is Mother's Day. I believe God is wanting you and me as the daughters of God to arise and shine and not be apologetic. Our light has come. So for me, I found myself in that pit as God began to propel me to lead a connect group. I was so afraid to lead a connect group. And God began to show me why I was afraid, the root. How many people know that at times we just see the fruits? I like that, the fruits. We see the fruits of things in our lives. You label yourself, I am a shy girl. Why are you shy? What is the root? So for me, I was afraid to lead a connect group. Yet in my country, I was not afraid to stand before thousands of people to preach. But when I came to this country, I was afraid to lead five people in a connect group. Why? What was the root? There was my past that was holding me back. So I'll ask one person to come that I'll use as a demonstration. One volunteer. So at times, you know, in life, situations can happen. For me, coming from my background back in Zimbabwe, the background of colonialism and oppression and racism. Little did I know that I was assimilating all that through observation. And as a result, I thought, I am so inferior. What else can I even? I just thought white people were so superior than me, and I had nothing to tell them. So when I was asked to lead a connect group, I was so, so fearful. I was so afraid. What was happening? There was a root, a label that I put upon myself of inferiority complex. So I had that label of inferiority complex over me. So I was afraid to even step out. And so maybe for you, your business, he's afraid. So maybe for you, maybe you went into business and you failed, and you took on that label. That, you know what, you're a failure. In life, there's nothing else that you can do. And when God is wanting to use you, you've got that label already. Failure. That is sticking over you. Maybe you got married and then got divorced, and your husband told you, you're so stupid. And you took on that label. I'm stupid. Maybe as you were growing up, your parents told you, you're lazy. You never amount to anything. And now when God wants to use you, you are living with that label and thinking, what can I possibly do for God? Because you have taken on that label. Maybe at work, through observation, you just look at people and you realize, people think I'm just confused. Well, what else can I do? I cannot do anything. And you've taken that label that you are a confused person. Maybe you're useless. And you look through your friends and the what they are saying as you assimilate is just, you're a useless person. You never amount to anything. Maybe you've told yourself, growing up, anxious. You're just an anxious person. Maybe you got raped when you were little, and you got physically abused, and you carry the shame in life. As you go through life, you see different situations, you just have that label that you're just a crazy person. And you take on that label, and then you are silly, and then you maybe you try to step out at school, and when you were at primary school, and then the teachers told you you can't do anything, and closed you up, and you labeled yourself a shy person. So just imagine when God is wanting to use you as a daughter of God, as a son of God, and you are carrying all these labels. Mine was inferiority complex. And God was saying, I want you to step out and begin to preach. But I had inferiority complex, and I was like, no, me, what can I possibly do? And you see that this voice is the voice that is contrary to what the word of God says about us. This voice of our past bad experiences seeks to loom large in our lives, to disqualify us from the purpose that God has for us. It seeks to tell us that we are nothing, we cannot do what God has called us to do. But I have come this morning to tell somebody that God is saying, you and me should arise from all these labels and only take on the labels that God says about us. Because it is our time and our season to arise and shine. Let's give him a hand. Thank you. Please remove the labels. So things like that can paralyze us from our destiny, and they can cripple us with insecurities. And we begin to doubt our calling, and it shakes off our confidence. And as God is wanting to use us, we begin to cripple in fear with insecurities, and we think we cannot do what God is calling us to do. When I got married to my husband in 2008, I was coming from a background where my dad had stepped out into business. So my dad stepped out in business, and I was helping him, and the business flourished amazingly. Within a month, what we were getting at that business was equivalent to what we're getting one day So what we're getting in the business for one day was equivalent to his salary for the month. And he was working for the government. So he ended up saying after 2 months, look, Florence, I'll have to quit my job because it's useless. So we're coming from this, I was coming from a background where I had seen business thrive. So when I got married to my husband, I had a dream that we would get into business. My husband is a medical doctor, so I was like, oh yeah, start a surgery. Because all the other people who were starting surgeries were doing very well. But my husband had no even a single bit of desire to start a business. I didn't understand. My parents didn't understand. They tried to talk him into it. Oh, he didn't. It was only when we came to Australia where he went again to seek God for the direction of our life. And God said, I want you to get into business. Oh my God. He said, Florence, when God said that to me, I packed all my bags and I left that place. I said, I cannot hear more from God. This, I don't even want to hear more what God has to say. What was the root that my husband was being told by God that part of his plan that he had for us was to start a business, yet he was closed up. He didn't want to hear anything about it. What had happened in his past? So what had happened in my husband's past is his dad had started a business. And that business thrived a lot. It thrived that so much that he became very, very wealthy. But he couldn't handle the success of his wealth. So what happened is he began to be involved with extramarital affairs. And then he started to have lots of women. And then as a result, my father-in-law died prematurely of an incurable disease because of that extramarital affairs that he had. So for him, my husband, to think about the business was a point of pain, that this is what business does. So that traumatic case and situation that he had gone through made him to be blocked from the call of God that he had for his life. I wonder what traumatic cases and situations that you've gone through as a daughter of God, as a son of God, what your past backgrounds, past bad experiences have preached to you. I wonder what you have gone through. Maybe you've been raped. Maybe you've been divorced. Maybe you've failed at business. If those things are not dealt with, they become a blockage in us walking in the perfect plan that God has for us. I've come to realize, I spoke about my background of racism, that I was inferior, had inferiority complex. My husband's background, where we had been hurt by business. But I've come to realize that your background doesn't have to shape you. The word of God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our background cannot limit us. Our past should not determine our future. Our past environment should not determine the future plans that God has for us. Our past experience doesn't have to determine our future. So I want to walk you through how we got healed. I'll call it a 3D approach of how me and my husband got healed from that. Today I'm free from inferiority complex. I am so comfortable with white people. Yet before, when we landed in this nation, I was a girl that was full of inferiority complex, so afraid to stand before white people. But today, because of this 3D approach that I'm gonna walk through you, I am comfortable. Very comfortable to preach before white people. So you and me, we don't have to be stuck in those backgrounds that past backgrounds that we'll have faced. Number one, diagnose the problem. My husband is a medical doctor. When people come with symptoms, he doesn't treat the symptoms. You can come and say, I've got a headache. He does running through of tests to identify the root of the problem, the source of the problem. For me, the fruit was just inferiority complex. I had labeled myself, I'm shy to stand before people. What was the root of the problem? So for you, probably you might be coming across symptoms of just being shy. You've told yourself, I cannot stand before people. You have labeled yourself, you are inferior. You just can't even imagine yourself being used by God. You have labeled yourself that, this is not for me, certain to do certain things. What is the source of the problem? Why have you labeled yourself those things that God does not label you as? Yours might be fear, just being afraid of people. Or maybe yours is just being a people pleaser. What is the root source of that situation? My husband's fruit was just, he was afraid of business. What was the root source of the problem? So you and me as a children of God, we need to identify the root of why we are feeling that way and allow the Holy Spirit to show us what the root is. Number two, when God shows us what the root is, we need to disengage from that. So we don't want that thinking to shape our relationship with God. So we need to invite Jesus to come to that situation and break that trauma and break that fear. So for my husband, he had to go back to God and allow him to heal him of that traumatic situation with his dad, what he had gone through. Why? Because if we do not deal with that root, we can go through life dysfunctional, and then we will miss what God has for us and is calling us to do. So what is the source? Allow God to heal that source of the problem. Number three, we need to delete and replace. Our lives are like, just like our minds are like computers. So if we go through traumatic cases in life, they are stored in our memories. But we can delete and replace those files. How? Romans 12 verse 2 speaks about us renewing our mind with the word of God. That is what is needed. I know of this woman who was told that you cannot have any children. She got pregnant and she had some children. She had a child, but that child, she miscarried that child and the child died. And so she buried this child. And each and every time she would pass through that grave, because she had to pass through because that was a way to work. She says it's as if the grave was preaching to her. Every time she would pass through driving to work, the grave was speaking to her that your God cannot save you. Look, your child is dead. You'll never have any children. And she said it was a point of torture every time she would pass through that grave, because it's as if the grave was speaking to her that you will never have any children. This is your fate in life. You will never have any children. And every time it was playing and playing through her mind, going to work and coming, until God said to her, change the game. Can you see that every time you are walking and passing through the grave is speaking to you? You are feeling these words that are contrary to what I say in my word. Change the game and begin to speak to the grave about your God. So she said the moment she picked that up, every time she would stop at the grave and begin to declare, I am going to have children. My God is alive. I am going to have 8 children and nothing is going to stop me because my God is a God of the impossibilities. My God is a God who says there is nothing that is too hard and difficult with me. And she said every time she would pass through the grave, she began to be excited as she would declare and speak to the grave of what his God can do. And within a few months, she had children. Why? Because she did a game plan change, a game changer. And what was she doing? She was replacing. Because at times when we go through traumatic cases, those thoughts will begin to continue to come. You're nothing. You're inferior. Your race, you're only black. What can you do? You cannot do anything. And you're keeping on playing all this throughout. For my husband, it might be, oh, you can never be in business. This is what business does. But for him and me, we had to replace those vows and begin to declare that we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. There is nothing that will hold us back. Why? Because we can do everything through Christ who strengthens us. So I wonder what past situations would seek to hold you back. Have you been married maybe and divorced continually and you feel, oh, that's your fate in life? You can never have a good marriage. It is time to replace that vow with what the word of God said. Maybe your husband has cheated you and mistreated you. It is time to replace that vow. Every time maybe you think about your husband who mistreated you and cheated on you, anger and resentment come and bitterness. But it is time to change that mentality and mindset and begin to declare what God says about you. Maybe you have been abused and shame continually comes over you. It is time to change that game plan and begin to speak what the word of God said. Maybe you have been dumped by your boyfriend and you think you are useless. It is time for you to declare what God's word says about you and replace the vows. What does God's word say? We need to replace what God by what God's word says. We'll see what the word of God says, media team. Thank you. The word of God in John 1:12 says, you are the child of God. It says you are the friend of Jesus. The word of God says you are justified and redeemed. It says you are not condemned by God. It says you are accepted in Christ. It says you are God's temple. He says greater works than the ones he did, you will be able to do. He says you are a new creature in Christ. You are no longer a slave, but a child and an heir of God. He says you are the royal priesthood. You are chosen, holy, and blameless before God. You are redeemed and forgiven by God. You are God's workmanship, and you have been chosen by God, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. This is the report that you and me should only believe. I'll invite the music team. This is our season as a children of God to arise and refuse to be held back by any past experiences and refuse to be held back by any past bad backgrounds that we might have faced. And I believe God wants us to heal, he wants to heal us this morning. We are here on assignment. There is a purpose and a plan that God has for you and me. And we should not allow anything to short circuit that plan that God has for us. So the word of God to us this morning, to all the mothers in the house, is arise and shine, for your light has come. God's glory has arisen over you. It is time for us to arise and be everything that God has called us to be. Our past should not detect our future. There is a race that is specifically marked out for you. As you stand one day before the judgment seat of God, what are you gonna say? Are you gonna come and give all the excuses and say, God, I didn't do what you called me to do because I was only black. I thought I could not do anything. Are you going to stand and say, God, I was divorced. And as a result, I was broken and I thought I was just silly. Are you going to stand before the judgment seat of God and say, God, all my workmates at work, they looked at me and they thought I was confused. As a result, I was afraid to step out and walk in the plan and the purpose that you had given me. I wonder what your response is going to be as God opens that plan book for your life and asks you to give an account about your life, what you're going to say. Are you going to stand boldly and proud before the King and say, God, I did everything I knew to do. I gave it my best shot. Or are you going to stand with a bag full of excuses and reasons? We are here for a little while. Today we are here. The next we are not. Life is like a mist. There is no time to play games. It is time that you and me as the children of God step out boldly. Find out what God has called you to do. What your race looks like. And unapologetically walk in that race. It is time for you and me, as a children of God, to take that one step. As God leads us, begin to do this. We just do it. Just take the next step. No matter whether your emotions are going to be hurt in the way, no matter you think, oh, it's too small for me, that step is going to lead to the bigger, perfect plan that God has for you. It is time for you and me to lay aside any hindrance of our past bad experiences and boldly walk in the plans and the purposes of God. We are here for a reason. We are here to leave a mark in our generation. The world out there is looking for us, at the church, for answers. And guess who has the answer and the results? It is you and me as a children of God. There is revival that is about to hit this church. And God is asking you and me to position ourselves for that revival. I'll just ask you to close your eyes. Just allow the Holy Spirit to show you if there are any roots. Whatever roots that may hinder you from progressing into God's call. Those symptoms that have been looming large, maybe of fear, just allow God to show you the root of those symptoms. Why are you afraid to stand before people? Why do you think you cannot be used by God? Why are you inferior? And as God shows you those symptoms and the roots, the second point is just disengage. Just invite Jesus and allow him to heal you and break that trauma and that fear and that shock and that horror and that shame. Just in your own words right there, just allow Jesus to just come and break that fear, trepidation, that shock, that horror that you went through. It cannot hold you anymore. We rebuke fear. Father, we pray for healing, oh God, to take place, deep emotional healing, oh God, from the past, in the name of Jesus. Every shock, every fear, shame that took place, Lord, over your children, Father, we break it right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus.